It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the Amber May Show. And I have a different type of show today. I don't think we've ever talked about this topic on the Amber May Show, but we're going to talk about domestic violence, a little bit about that, and how do you get victory over that? I mean, where do you go from there? And today joining me is a wonderful lady. Her name is Patricia Holmes, and she is not only a female that's been in this circumstance, but she's also an author. And I'd like to welcome Patricia Holmes to the program.
Thank you so much, Amber May.
What was the changing point in your life?
Changing point in my life, I've always been a person that had big dreams. I always thought, you know, ever since I was a child, I had dreams that I already knew I was going to be living in the United States. I don't know how I knew that, but I just had these big, huge dreams. And what I found was that around 40, a light bulb goes off and you start learning them. You get like a new, you know, awakening in life. Well, it happened to me around when I was approaching 36, around 36 and thereabouts, and I started to say, this isn't right. You know, something is wrong. This is not right. It doesn't feel right. I feel like my dreams are suffocating. I feel like nothing that I'm not accomplishing. Now, mind you, I held on a very, very successful career in corporate America. So that and was able to hide. And I got to bring this point out before we go on. I've got to say that I never involved anyone else. No one else knew about the abuse that I was going through. My parents didn't know. My siblings didn't know. My friends did not know. I put up an affront. I hid it well. I never called the police, and there were instances where he could have been incarcerated because of the things done to me. I never involved the police. There was never a 911 call to them at all. So I've got to go back and say that I never reached out because I was ashamed, and I thought it was my fault. And I honestly, Amber, did not know what my choices were. I didn't. I never saw my mother call 911. Well, my mother lived in a third world country that didn't really have a reliable, emergency. Now they do, but, 1970s, they didn't have a 999 is what their emergency number is. They didn't have a reliable service. And a couple of times that I found out later on that my mother went to the police station to report this, they laughed her off because of the clout that my dad had. They sent no investigator or anything like that, and they actually turned around and let him know, which further angered him.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So now I never called the police or anything and never involved any authorities. So I've got to bring that out as well because I want everyone to know what your choices are. This is my reason why I am as passionate as I am about what I do. That is why I don't mind writing this book, showing my mindset on what has happened to me. I don't mind sharing it. And because now I feel no shame. And the reason why, Amber, is because I know that I was a victim. I may have made a bad choice in choosing a man. I may have made a bad choice in staying for so long. But it was not. There's no shame because I didn't do anything
right
to deserve treatment like this. That is why I could come out and speak as candidly as I am about it, because I do not want one more person to go on living in such a circumstance. It's a constant feeling of distress. You're always worried and concerned about someone else's behavior. You're concerned. Now you have to push your emotions back and you have to cater to them because you do not want to make them angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next time they get angry, that knife could slit your throat. You could end up on the sidewalk with a car that was moving 30 miles an hour.
Right. That's powerful what you just said, and I hope someone's really taken hold of that if they are in that situation. But you came to a point where you realized that your dreams weren't being fulfilled that you had. And was that all it took for you to make the next move and get away from him?
I started being very, very antsy. And, you know, just, this is not going to work. And there was a period of time when it just was, there was a lot of arguments back and forth. And I was really fed up, sick and fed up. And there was a culmination and an incident that happened. And that incident showed me that this individual had the capability of actually killing me. And that woke me up. And I got to say that, and I've seen this as I've counseled and talked to other people along the years who have been abused. Sometimes the threat of death to me was not enough. I know this sounds really, really, really warped, mm-hmm. but the threat of death to me was not the factor that made me leave. It was when the impending threat looked like it was going to create harm to my son. And because of that, and I'm talking murder, suicide, to be specific. And when I saw that, I said, but maybe I deserve to die. This is my walk mind now. Maybe I deserve to, but what did this 11-year-old child do?
Right.
He doesn't deserve this. And that was the point where I said, enough was enough, and too much stinks, and I'm out of here. So at that point was the breaking point for me where I said, you harmed me, you've harmed me, but you will not touch my child. I will not allow him to come under this at all. And that was the point where I left.
That's incredible. And it's so good that God puts this motherly sense about women that they will lay their life down for their child.
Yes.
And because in a sense, you not only saved yourself, but you saved your son. But how hard and how scary was that to leave him? I mean, what did you have to do? Did you have to do it in secret where he didn't know for fear he might come after you and kill you? Is that kind of how it goes in this circumstance?
Sometimes it is. In my case, I prayed intensely. And then I had started coming back to, I would sporadically go to church, but I started coming back to, and always, like I said, throughout my life, I've always prayed to God. And I started praying, basically. And because, of course, he knew, you know, where I worked and everything. And I didn't want to move, you know, from change jobs and career. I didn't want to do that. So mm-hmm. I started praying really, really, really hard. And I can tell you that I did some things to finally fight back. And during the years, I never fought back. I always was on the defensive, the offensive. Putting up my hands to protect myself and so forth, but I never defended myself. And I started defending myself, and I remember, and I believe it's a Tyler Perry movie where he talks about, I think it's the one that I can do a bat all by myself or something like that, but he talks about in this movie there are two types of men. And I'm not sure which one it was. And he said there's a man that's really, really crazy. And it's Medea that's talking. There's a man that's really, really, really crazy. And if you take up the telephone and you say, I'm going to dial 911, he'll say, okay, let me dial it for you. And then he'll proceed to stomp you into the ground, mm-hmm. you know, further. And then there's the man that's the coward. And when you pick up the phone and you say, let me dial 911, he will say, oh, no, no, put the phone back and apologize. And do you know, Amber, all those years, the coward was this individual. Once I started fighting back with my prayers, I stayed on my knees. I was able to leave with no harm to my son, myself, and with full knowledge of where I had moved to. Doesn't happen often. I gotta bring caution, because when you deal with the other type of man that's crazy, he will hunt you down and he will find you. He will kill you. So at that, and if a person tells you that they will kill you, you better believe it that they will.
That's right. But I would say go to your law enforcement officers, get an order of protection, and find a place of safety for you if that's the kind of husband you have. Now, once you made that step and you were able to break free from it, you restored your relationship with God. And from what it sounds like to me, he restored your identity with what he sees in you and how he looks at you. Is that right?
That is excellent. Excellent way of putting it. That is right. God showed me how we are trees and our roots are the foundations that we have from childhood. Not how originally we were born, how he intended us to be, but from these environmental things that happen to us and how we take on these different things that weren't meant to be for us. So he showed me how my roots were built on abandonment. It's important that we get to the root cause, because what happens then is when our roots are unhealthy, then the trunk of the tree is unhealthy, and all of the branches then are unhealthy behaviors. So oftentimes what happens is we try to treat the behaviors, the jealousy, the envy, the anger. We try to treat those when we have to get to the root cause. And if we get to the root cause and we pour insecticide in that root, and the insecticide would be the word of God, the balm of Gilead, when we pour that onto the root and kill that, then the tree can then be healthy. So what he did with me was he said, totally, I'm pulling up these roots, and I am going to plant a new tree in you. And then the roots are going to run deep because they're going to be healthy at this point. Because the abandonment came from my perception that my being that I'm the youngest in the family. This is a lie from the pits of hell, but this was my perception, and I believed it. I married it, and that's the reason why I made such unhealthy choices. But I believe that my parents, because I'm the youngest, and my father, when he left home, I was three. I believe that I was the reason for the divorce. I believe that by the time I came along, you know, there was a lot going on, and maybe I wasn't really as wanted as my older siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you know, but then I developed this thing of abandonment. And that was my root cause. And out of the abandonment and the root, then the trunk of my tree was selfishness. And then all of the branches were some of the behaviors that I, you know, the low self-esteem that I exhibited. The book is available on my website, which my website is www.sisterpathomes.com. And that's SisterPathomes.com.
And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.